I remind you that children and families are always welcome to stay in our service. But if you feel that you and one of your family members needs a separate space and time, follow Ruth Hannah. Sorry. Will you join me in prayer? God, may these words be full of grace and seasoned with salt, that we may get to know you better. Some of my fondest memories were when I was a child working with my dad. And as he would work around the house, I would assist him. Now, one of my responsibilities was to go to the toolbox and gather the tools that he needed. And on one occasion, he asked me to go get the channel locks. And as I trotted off and came back with the crescent wrench, he said, not it, set it down, and now please go get the channel locks. And through probably just elimination, I eventually got the right wrench. But he was patient with me and allowed me to make those mistakes. But more importantly, he encouraged me to get to know the tools and then practice the skill. Now, I can imagine Jesus having similar training from Joseph, his earthly father, training that would help him become a master carpenter, training that would teach him how to use the tools and allow him to envision what could be, to see past the raw, unfinished material to the possibilities. Now, remember, there was no Home Depot. Sadly, everything was built from scratch. Jesus would have been seeking out, gathering the materials that he would need before he started a project. He would have been accustomed to using the rough, raw, unrecognized materials to build with. To the untrained eye, a simple pile of wood could have been transformed into something beautiful, something unexpected. As Jesus begins his ministry, he's switching careers. He's transforming from being that carpenter to being a rabbi. And the tools in his toolbox would be the words, and the result would be spiritual. The raw material would be the community, and the words, well, the words would be shocking. Shocking in many ways to those that heard them, yet that they would be uplifting words, powerful words, encouraging words, and they would be in direct conflict to society's values. Jesus begins his ministry teaching in Galilee and is referred to as the Galilean ministry. It was custom for a rabbi to stand when reading from the Torah with his head covered as an outward sign that Yahweh was above him. To teach, one would sit down. The crowds would know this. Now, word spread about Jesus and his confident, powerful messages. Crowds began to follow him. During this season of Epiphany, the aha season of recognition, Jesus is revealed to us, not only through the star in the sky or the voice from heaven calling out to Jesus at his baptism, but by Jesus himself. He's revealing himself to us through his teaching of who he is and what he's about. Now, this is the first of 4 weeks where we will hear some of those core familiar teachings from Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, found in the Gospel of Matthew, and the teaching from Luke, which is considered to be the Sermon on the Plain. Today, our focus is probably one of the most recognizable passages in the New Testament, or perhaps the entire Bible. The Beatitudes, found in Matthew and Luke, but not in Mark or John. In Matthew, we have 8 of them, and in Luke, there are 4. We refer to the reading in Matthew today as the Beatitudes, a title that was not originally found in our English Bibles. In fact, the word Beatitudes was first introduced in the Latin Vulgate around 390 to 410 AD. The Latin translates to supreme happiness. Now, this is the beginning of Jesus taking his message to the crowds, and it can be seen as Jesus calling his crowds into his message, a message that would set them apart by calling them into community with one another and into community with him. Now, because we're so familiar with these, let's listen to them again. Let's listen to them as if we are being called by name. Hear them with fresh ears. Close your eyes. Imagine that you are in that crowd with someone, one of your friends, people you know, people you don't know. You're on the margins of society, and you're here because there's been talk about this rabbi who has a different spin on life. Hear them as if you and the person you're standing next to are being called into community with one another. Happy are those who are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Is it refreshing to hear the word happy instead of blessed? Does it make you think differently? Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God asks. God will satisfy them. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Can you hear members of the community that you sit with now, in these Beatitudes? Happy are those who are pure at heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. You will be known as children of God. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God asks. Happy are those who, when you're insulted and persecuted and others tell lies about you, because you are followers of Christ. Now, some of these we may directly be able to relate to, but these Beatitudes are chances for us to get to know Christ. Chances are pretty good that one of us will experience these at one time or another, maybe more than once. I have a favorite. Happy are those that mourn. Sometimes it takes a while to understand how and when this blessing is being fulfilled. Now, these blessings are just as relevant today as they were when Jesus first spoke them. So I think it's important for us to have some understanding how they impact our lives. We still live in a society that values the strong, the confident. We are taught not to need anyone. We are taught to be independent. We're also suspicious of anyone who is happy and calm in the midst of chaos. But maybe we shouldn't be. These teachings are tools for living, and we are the rough material that Jesus is using to build with. You see, the aha moment is when we are spiritually happy and calm in the midst of chaos. Many of us have seen firsthand that if one of us in this community mourns, there are those who step up to comfort. Blessings are not intended to be a one-time event. They're not a call and response. We can't stop on how we see these blessings. If we do, we sell ourselves and the community we belong to short. So, how do we grow into these blessings of supreme happiness? Jesus calls each and one of us out and asks us to turn from the value of reward to spiritual blessing, of devotion. By devotion, I mean a daily practice of these tools that Jesus taught us by sharing our practice with others. This stretches us out of our comfort zone and dares us to be a community. Here, our rough edges are exposed. We become vulnerable. Now, being vulnerable is not a curse, as society would have us believe. Jesus openly blesses those who are meek and vulnerable, those who are open to his message. A message that asks us to directly turn from society's values towards a relationship with him. Now, a relationship that we are called to is to live into the community with believers, being open to receive spiritual care and comfort, but more importantly, to offer spiritual care and comfort. The very first beatitude is, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Many of us have felt spiritually mugged by organized religion. Some of us were spiritually bankrupt before finding a home at MCC. We were sure that God had flat out given up on us, just like the crowd that gathered to hear the Sermon on the Mount. But what about happier those who mourn? When we feel that we've lost all hope, when we've lost our physical or mental health, when we feel that we are face down in the mud with a knee in our back, ready to give up, listen closely to the radical rabbi who's whispering in our ear as if to say, "Get up. I'm not done with you yet." Remember, Jesus builds from scratch using rough, raw materials, and we are that material. As our faith grows, we need an outlet to practice that faith. We enter into a faith community, and as a result, we become spiritually healthier because we become accountable to the community to which we belong. The Beatitudes are not a smorgasbord of blessings for us to feast on. They are community-based devotions to live into. It is when we recognize this that we grow in our Christian faith. Our growth is both personal and communal because we hold each other accountable. Now, it takes one or two of us to have a vision and about 40 to 60 to carry that out, case in point. The vision to have a legal commercial kitchen so that we could revive and expand our feeding ministry. The city required an ADA compliant bathrooms. The space would have taken almost half of the dining area. But this did not stop this community. We banded together and we dug out 40 cubic yards of dirt under the crawl space, one bucket at a time. You see, the space wasn't big enough to get equipment in. And it was truly a moment that many hands made light work. A few years after the completion of the kitchen, a few people started a feeding program, taking food to the Women of Wisdom and taking meals to the HIV Day Center. We are an active loaves and fishes site. And in August, the People's Pantry, which you heard about today in the announcements, began participating and partnering up with the Oregon Food Bank, giving out an average of 10,000 pounds of food. That's 5 tons per month in one program. Now, looking at these ministries, why would we need to see the Beatitudes as a call into community if we're doing so well? Because the Beatitudes is to continue to grow spiritually while participating in community, not stop and rest on our past accomplishments. You see, we're far from being done here. There are still people who are spiritually poor. Now, how many times have we heard, "Well, I find God in nature"? Now, I get this. The Bible tells us that we see God in nature and that nature declares the very existence of God. And I know that many of us have experienced the presence of God in nature and have been blessed because of it. But this is not a faith that's sustainable alone. The very world we live in that God created is not a vacuum. We are called to turn into a faith community, not away from it. It is sharing these experiences that changes us and changes the people around us, sometimes without knowing. Now, a few weeks ago, Nathan held his annual mini New Year's spiritual retreat. For those of you who have not experienced it, we gather together, and one of the ways we're invited to participate is by creating a vision board. The intent is we let go of last year and we welcome the possibilities of the new year. Now, it is commonly said that what we focus on is what we gravitate towards. And the powerful part of this is when we do this in community, when we share our dreams and our hopes with others, we become accountable to those dreams. You see, we cannot be accountable alone. Now, Jesus saw the crowd as they were gathering around him, and I believe he recognized the material as something that he could do something with. He saw the possibilities. He knew his work and his words would transform the lives of those that heard his message. Unfortunately, some in the crowd eventually would scream, "Crucify him." This is an unfortunate human condition. We want it our way. We want it our way or no way. Events will take place in this community that will challenge our faith, focus to force us to examine our beliefs, confront our rough edges as a community. But I believe we can commit to being vulnerable, commit to growing out of our comfort zone, and dare to live into the vision that Christ calls us into community in spite of ourselves. Jesus starts from scratch. He calls us into community with him. His words are encouraging and powerful enough to transform lives, shocking enough to transform our community in ways unexpected. Now, more than ever, it is time to live into the supreme happiness, to be calm in the midst of chaos by using the tools that Jesus gave us, to listen with fresh ears, to embrace the Beatitudes as devotions and live into them fully. Our future depends on it. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, we know your words. Let us lean into them and know them. We ask that you bless each and every one of us. In your many names, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.